Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. The Esther story probably is not studied enough, and it's I'm not going to focus on the whole story. It's quite long, quite evolved. I want to focus on Mordecai and Esther. But the origin of the story dates from about 500, 490 or so B.C., and the children of Israel are dispersed. The term you hear sometimes using on that, and a 25-cent word, is diaspora. Diaspora. So this, what it means is dispersion. The Jews are dispersed. And part of where they've been, part of where they were, what's going on is some of them have chosen to stay in the kingdom that has conquered Babylon, that's Persia. I think as I indicated at the statement of the theme, its Hebrew is written in such a way, it appears to be written by someone who spoke Hebrew as a second language, which seems to validate the idea of the fact that the authors of this were stuck somewhere else, and where could they have been? Maybe Persia. The story has to, it's a long story. Esther is an orphan, and she has her cousin Mordecai, who's operated to protect her and help her. Some things have happened that our contemporary world is a little appalled at, of how it is that Esther arrives to this. She doesn't, not an act of evil on her part, but some of the systems around her acted evil in lack of understanding ways. And Esther gets to a place where she is she's the queen. She's in a position of authority. But it's not queen like Victoria was a queen. She's still very limited in her authority, and you'll hear some of that in the passage here. Mordecai gets wind of something that bad's about to happen, and there's a bad character in the story here, and I'll mention his name in a second. And he's one of a long list of characters in the Bible that want to do evil to the Jews, and he's one of them. And so this little tension is set off between Mordecai and this character as whether or not he's going to redeem and save the Jews. And Mordecai turns to his cousin and reminds her of some responsibilities she might potentially have here. And her first response is very much like you and me. Very much like you and me. Her first response is one of, are you kidding? If I do this, I run the risk of getting killed. And I don't mean figuratively killed. I mean literally killed. Okay? But she, so she sort of says no the first time. And Mordecai comes back and prevails upon her based upon what I was describing earlier, this urgency of the now. This urgency of the now. I'm on page 446 of your Pew Bibles, 446, 447. I'm going to be reading from Esther chapter 4. I'm going to start off with verses 4 and read to the end of the chapter. I don't say thither very often in church, or Ebenezer. I don't say eunuch very often in church either. When Esther's maids and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was happening and why. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman. Now, Haman is the bad guy. For those of you that have ever followed the old silent movies, he's the Snidely Whiplash character in this particular story. Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king to make supplication to him and entreat him for her people. Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, quote, All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all of the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter." Most of the rabbinical, most of the Jewish commentators believe that what Mordecai is driving at is Yahweh will take action with somebody else. That's what they argue. But you and your father's family will perish. And here's the critical element. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. Who knows? Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. That's the core of my reflection this morning. Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
We were pretty proud of ourselves here at Hilltop. We had put together a wonderful package. We had sent it in to the conference and laid out how we thought we might approach this endeavor of starting a new church over in the southwest portion of the county, somewhere that direction, don't know yet where exactly. Brian Hendrickson and I went and did a presentation, and they called us back and said we'd been approved. And about 4 or 5 weeks later, I got a phone call. And the phone call was, "We don't have anybody in the pool. There's nobody in the quality pool that is ready to go take this position and come and be the minister of evangelism at Hilltop United Methodist Church. So we're going to try this again in 2017. We had a meeting here at the church, and I sort of defended the conference position. My argument was essentially, got to get the right person, yada, 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 weenie, weenie, wine, wine. And I even somewhere, as the people in the group kept talking about this, I finally turned around and I said, "Am I being a stooge for the conference?" And they said, "Yep, you are." And so we collectively sat down and I listened. I know that may shock some people, but I listened. We listened, and Roy Goodart wrote a masterpiece. Roy Goodart wrote a masterpiece that we touched and tweaked a little bit here or there, and he sent that in to Bishop Elaine. And he basically, the bottom line of that particular letter was, "We don't think 2017 is the time. We think the time is now. The time is now. The conditions exist. The climate is right. The right people are here. The time is now." And it's hard to convey that across 500 miles. I was at the conference about 2 weeks later, and I'm minding my own business, sitting in an office getting ready to do something else. And Bishop Elaine swung by, and she smiled at me. She says, "Dennis, can I come back and talk to you in 15 minutes? She's very polite. I mean, I guess my reaction internally was, "You're the bishop. If you want to come talk to me in 15 minutes, I'll be here in 15 minutes. And what she did was she complimented Hilltop on the letter. And how that letter caused the leadership in Denver to sit down and realize that the timing, the now,
was now. It was not in 2017. The timing was now. And we basically, somewhere in the letter, said something along the lines of, we have trouble believing that there is nobody in the Rocky Mountain Conference or the nation that cannot come fill this position. We have trouble believing that. And they stepped back, and they stepped back and said, you know, maybe we're looking at too small a pool. Maybe we're looking at too few people that can come do this. And the bishop then says, you know, I think we've actually got the right person. She's going to be perfect. Oh, I can't believe I even said she. I didn't want you to know who this person was at all. That's how Emily got identified. And so it was you, your leaders, basically saying that there was an urgency to this and we need to operate in the now. Not in 2017, not in 2018. Oh, I will confess to you, I was sort of happy with the phone call in February. It was like, whew, dodge that bullet. Wow, I got another year to let something else be the issue of the day. And your leadership said, no, we need to focus on this now. This is important, not in 2017, not in 2018. This is important now. They were behaving like Mordecai. They was behaving like Mordecai, where they were basically saying, okay. How do you know that all the circumstances that caused you, Esther, to be at this place at this particular time weren't set in motion for you to be the right person to be right here at this right time? How do you know? And the conference behaved like Esther. First, their first reaction was no. And then the second reaction was, okay, we're in. We're going to take that risk and we're going to be in. And that's what I think is the big idea for us in this story. We all can all be at some point in time here, Esther, or we can all at some point in time be Mordecai. As I was writing my notes out on this, I commented that part of the appeal that Bonhoeffer has for me is that I was thinking to my mind here how Esther is operating Bonhoeffer-like in his willingness to go take risks. But I've got this backwards, don't I? I've got this backwards. What Bonhoeffer is doing is he's behaving Esther-like. Okay? He's behaving Esther-like. He's the one who goes and takes the danger. And for Bonhoeffer, exactly what it was that Esther was afraid would happen, happened. He was martyred on behalf of the cause. People have been willing to take risks on behalf of Christianity, on behalf of Judaism, for a long, long, long time. And it's part of the nature of being a follower of this particular God. I hate it when politicians steal a good illustration. I just hate it. And Marilyn and I were familiar with this Hopi poem that exists out there, which is the nature of the poem. It talks to the idea of the fact that there's no charger on a white horse that's going to show up. There's no magic knight that's going to show up. There's no miraculous savior that's going to show up in the tomorrow. You have to deal with the now. Those of us here now, we are the ones that will have to deal with this. It's on the cover of your bulletin. We are the ones we have been waiting for. Not somebody can come along later. And what Mordecai has essentially done is he's turned around to Esther and said, you know, we can't wait around for somebody else. You are the one we have been waiting for. And fortunately, Esther responds to that. Here's the message for us in 2016. Here's the message for us in 2017, 2018, but particularly true in 2016. Everyone here can be a Mordecai. Everyone here has the capacity to be a Mordecai. I would say you do that through listening to God, praying, reading Scripture, talking to other people in a constructive way. I'm not advocating gossiping. But nonetheless, talking to other people in a constructive way, and then using that to be able to listen and see where it is that God is carrying us in this story. We all have the chance to be an Esther. We all have the chance to be an Esther as to behave in such a way we can sit down and say, no, that's too risky. I'm not sure I want to do that. And then listen to God's small, still voice speak to us in such a way that we realize that the now is what is important. And we prepare to change our position. And we prepare to set out on God's wonderful adventure that God calls us to. That's the opportunity for us. We're going to do communion here in a second. And I want you to listen to the words that Emily and I are going to read to you. I want you to listen to the confession. As you read that confession, I want you to pay attention to it. Pay close attention to it. Then I'm going to come back and we're going to do something after the communion that's not in the bulletin yet. I want to talk to you a little bit about this. Where are you going to be in the story? But your invitation for you is to be Mordecai. Your invitation is to maybe be Esther. And my guess is that at any one time, you can be both in a day. Because realize that you may decide that you're going to be a Mordecai, and somebody's going to be a Mordecai, and you're going to be the Esther on the other end of their finger. That's going to be the invitation for all of us.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.